Social media, we all love and hate it, right? The thing is, you have to treat it as a marketing tool if you run a business. Today I'm talking with social media strategist Disha Wadab, who is a Facebook lead trainer, and in 2019 she was shortlisted for Freelance Social Media Manager of the Year. She really knows her stuff, and I enjoyed picking her brains in our conversation, with the end goal to make your life on social media easier, of course. We also had a lot of fun talking and connecting, and I can't wait for you to meet her. So let's dive in. Hey there, welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. I'm your host, Susanne Reiker, here to help yoga and wellness entrepreneurs build a thriving online business. If you're ready to make a bigger impact and earn money online, you are in the right place. Each week you learn about websites, digital products, social media strategies, and what's working now to build your online business. And now let's get started. Hi, Disha. Welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So, yeah, introduce yourself and tell our listeners a little bit about you and what you do.
So I am Disha. I'm a social media and business coach. I started life out as a social media manager, and I worked specifically within the wellness industry to help wellness entrepreneurs grow their businesses and manage their social media. And in 2019, my clients start asking me to start coaching them. And I was managing their social media. And they're like, can you coach us on everything else, please, and everything else that's going on? So I started transitioning to coaching, and I found that I loved it because I'm an extrovert. And I found that it suited my personality, being able to talk to people rather than just sitting behind the computer and getting things done. And it also meant that I was able to reach back and help those that were in the same position as me when I started. So I'd found that when I was social media manager, my business had grown, so my prices had grown, and I was therefore like working with 6- and 7-figure business owners and managing teams of people, which was great, but I wasn't using the same strategies I was using in my own business to get clients as a solopreneur without the big team.
It's like the I don't know, the shoemaker who has the worst shoes or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I was doing all of this stuff for everybody else, and the strategies that I was using for my business were completely different. And that's what some of my clients were like, can you just teach me what you're doing to get clients right now? And I was like, yeah, absolutely, I can do that. So it kind of evolved, and now that's just what I do, is just the coaching side and the strategic side of social media and marketing for.
Okay, so I got it wrong with my example. I'm sorry about that. Because when they ask you to teach you what you've been doing, it must have been good. So it must have worked already. So yeah. So.
Yeah. It was great because it sort of happened so organically. That I transitioned over, and it was just fun to be able to then get on calls with people and really see the results that people are getting.
That's great. That's amazing. I mean, I know that a lot of my students and myself included, we have all this mixed feelings about social media, and it's fun and there's always new stuff to try out and it's so great to build a connection, but then it can be really overwhelming and you feel you don't know what to post and you feel like this pressure that you have to create content all the time. And does it really work? Does it really get you any results? So I'm really excited to dive into your experience and knowledge and insights here. I don't know, let's assume you have like a yoga teacher as a client. What would you teach them? What would you tell them to do on social media? It's very broad, but let's get started somewhere.
Yeah. So my first thing is, I know generally yoga teachers don't like social media and don't want to be on it a lot of the time. We want to be present and in the moment. And so the first thing is to get organized with that. So, okay, accept that you don't want to be on social media all the time. That's fine. So we get organized so that we don't have to be.
Because you can set up your organization and planning and...
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can set up your business so that you don't have to be on social media all the time. You just have to be organized about it. So that is the first thing, is make sure that you have somewhere to save all of your content. so that you can repurpose it and reuse it, or you can have a VA do that for you as well.
What do you use to plan?
I use Airtable. It's similar to Trello and Asana. It's just a little bit more robust. And I can have all of my content on there. And then I just, even I divvy it out to a VM, like, okay, so I love Facebook. I'm on Facebook all the time, but I'm not on Instagram, for example. So my VA is like, okay, I repurpose all of your content that you put into Airtable and put it on Instagram for you. I'm like, great, fantastic. Then that's a social platform I don't have to do.
So for our listeners who don't know what a VA is, can you just quickly explain the system, the process?
Yeah. So it's a virtual assistant or somebody that helps you out in your business that you don't necessarily have to meet or have in person. They can be anywhere in the world. I have three currently working within my business. One is in America, one's in the UK, and one's in the Philippines. I've never met any of them in real life. And it's fantastic to have that level of support when, especially for me, I brought on additional team members coming into Christmas because I don't want to work Christmas, right? I don't want to. So I'm like, I'll bring on people that do want to work Christmas because there are people that do want to work it.
Yeah, sure.
And I can get everything done so that I can just take a step back and be with my family and not have to work or be online.
That's very smart.
Yeah. And that comes down to planning and knowing what's coming up. So I am a big believer in knowing what you're going to do in the future because it allows you to make those decisions. So I know what I'm doing in January, February, March. In fact, I know what I'm doing for the whole of next year. So I know that I can bring on team members now to start doing stuff that is going to bring results in January and February. And then I can start to build, even down to building my audience now and nurturing them to know what I'm going to launch in January. So I haven't officially told anybody what I'm launching, but they're starting to get the nuances around it from what I am sharing.
Yes, that's what I teach as well, like leading up to your launch. It's like this content runway where you kind of talk a little bit about related topics and kind of maybe even address already like objections that people might be having to buying and educate them already a little bit. Yeah. So how does your VA help you with your social media tasks?
So they can do all sorts of different things. My VA literally repurposes the content that I create. So one of the things that I am absolutely passionate about is if you are, especially if you're a new business owner and you're not at that stage where you have tons of content. When I was doing social media management, and the people I was working with had masses of content that I could just go through and pick out and, you know, use their voice and create content that way. But if you're a new entrepreneur or you haven't been around for too long and you haven't got tons of things for people to pick out on, then you have to create that content because it's in your voice and your style. So doing it that way and writing out everything yourself and then getting really creative with the way that you talk and then authentically you, your VA can then take what you have created and move it onto another platform somewhere. So yeah, that's what my VA does for me, is to make sure that I also have an OBM that does the strategic stuff. So oversees a lot of the...
OBM stands for Online Business Manager or...
Online business manager. So they oversee all the strategic side of things and can manage the business flows and those sorts of things. And that helps with me. I'm very ideas orientated, and that's why I love jumping on coaching calls, because I'm like, oh yeah, we can do this and we can do that and we can do this. But then I know that in my business, I need somebody to actually do that. And that comes down to knowing your personality type, right? I know that I'm not the actual doer. I just come up with these huge ideas and I'm like, yeah, I want to do this. And if I don't have somebody to do it, then often it gets to the wayside, which I find some of my clients, especially in the wellness industry, will hire a VA when they work with me on a coaching profile as well, because they know that we're going to go with all the ideas and we're going to get really creative and we're going to think huge for the business. And then they're going to be now they don't have time to do it all as well as everything else they're doing. So people who work with me on a coaching basis tend to hire a VA alongside it so that we can actually implement things as we go along.
That's so smart. Yeah. I'm always like teaching people though. I know a lot of yoga teachers who dream of having this marketing fairy and that they could just hand it over and then magically those fairy would take care of everything. And that's just not how it works. You still have to find your voice, come up with the ideas, come up with content as well, build the connection, manage the people, approve stuff and all that. So in case you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to hire a VA and this is so inspiring and then I don't have to do anything anymore with marketing and selling. That's not really how it works. It's going to make your life easier, definitely.
Yes.
And it can help you grow. So when you're just starting out, you don't really start there, I think. It's always good to know stuff yourself before you hand it over.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I find that it depends on your strengths and what you need. So some people will hire a VA if they're not very tech savvy. And if we're going to build out a marketing system for them that involves landing pages and, you know, course content and all those sorts of things, and we're going to think massive for the business over the next 12 months and build out all of these things, then rather than being stuck in overwhelm and procrastination on what platform do I use and how do I make this work, then sometimes it's easier just to be like, okay, somebody else do it. And I did that for my branding even. I love creating and playing with graphics, but because it was my own business, I was like, I'm just going to get stuck in which direction this little feather points, or, you know, the minute detail that realistically doesn't matter. And if I had somebody else do it and they sent it to me, I'd be like, oh my God, it's amazing. But when I'm looking at it and you're stuck inside of something, you can't see the bigger picture.
That's true. Yeah. Sometimes, we are too much into what we do ourselves. So it's really great to have like a coach. I think that's so important as well. Some entrepreneurs, like a mastermind, people who are your peers who can help you stay accountable and look at your stuff and answer questions or just are there to discuss things. I mean, I don't know how it is in your life, but in my life, it's like my family and friends, they really have no understanding of what I'm doing. So they are not really the best sounding board when it comes to discussing any idea.
My family always say, how is business? And I just say good. They don't understand the whole social media anyway. And my brother calls me a well-paid hippie because he has construction and he's very manual labor. So for me to sit behind a computer screen, he's like, yeah, I don't know what it is that you do.
At least they acknowledge that you're working. Because when I was spending like half the year in Bali, everybody thought I was just there on holiday, like in a hammock, drinking coconuts. And I'm like, yeah, I'm actually stuck in my co-working space in an air-conditioned dark room most days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, of course, not all the time, but...
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that I think people forget when you're working in the online space is that you can choose the freedom that you have. But often we enjoy our work so much that we choose to work.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be a little bit ambitious as well to get somewhere, to get it started, I think. So I'm also like at the moment, because I have my new puppy the last weeks, no, I didn't work really. I didn't get a lot done. And that's fine too, that you have that freedom to really to build your life around your business.
And that's one of the reasons that I started my business was to have that freedom. And
me too.
In 2019, obviously we didn't travel anywhere in 2020, but in 2019, I had managed to travel to 8 different countries and still doubled my corporate income and loved it. This year, Manchester has been home.
Oh, well, but at least we have social media. So let's get back to that.
Yes.
So your plan. How much content do you create like in advance? Like, do you sit down and write all kind of captions or do you like start with a calendar?
So when I am creating content for a launch, I tend to I tend to create it on fly as I'm going along and then save it for next time. So we're always relaunching things and we're always doing things again. And that's when we can perfect it. But often as we're going through a launch, you start to get feedback from people on objections, what's going on, and those sorts of things. And you can then tailor that content to what people are actually saying and the feedback you're getting about that offer. And then say, okay, so I've launched something in 2020 about 4 times. And each time I've launched it, I've perfected it because it is going to be one of the key things that I offer in 2021. But it wasn't quite perfect every time I launched it until this time I've launched it. So the feedback.
But every time you have to believe it's perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
So at the end, like that, every time I'm like, this is the best program ever that I'm going to put out there. And I think that's important because, yeah.
Yeah, and then the feedback that you get helps you change things and tweak things. And then tweaking the messaging as well, I think, is so important, depending on feedback from your audience. Because often what we perceive is going to be the big thing that's going to move the needle for people isn't actually what they think is going to move the needle. So when you're looking at the messaging that you're sending out to people, you can say, okay, well, that isn't landing as well as I wanted to. So we can change the wording that we're using and twist it around so that we are really speaking to the people that we want.
Okay, but that's regarding to launching, which equals selling something, right? Because otherwise I'm not really 100% sure that it's only about what people are engaging to, because then I would only post puppy pictures. And which probably would mean people would love my Instagram content or Facebook content, but they wouldn't necessarily buy anything from me.
Oh, yeah. Puppy pictures always go down well.
Oh, yeah. They're the best. She's a full-grown member of my team now.
Yeah, it's about making sure that messaging is landing right with your audience. And I often tell people to look at what your target audience is saying in social media and on other platforms and listening to them, because you can use that wording in your messaging and make sure that you're using the words they're using, or educate them in the words that you want to use in a launch. And that goes into your launch runway in the marketing and the wording that you're sharing. Because okay. I think often that's all right.
I have my next question ready to shout it up.
Go ahead, what's your next question?
So what do you post on Facebook then, like leading up to a launch?
So I post a whole variety of different content. A lot of it is around elevating myself as a brand, as a person, as a knowledge expert, so that people see that I am the person to come to when it's looking at marketing and social media and getting sales. And then I also post sort of teaser content. So I'll post anything from behind the scenes, what's going on in the world, what's going on in my world, what I'm working on. I will post tips about what you can do so people can get actionable results. I want people to see my content and actually be able to implement things and get actionable results as well. And then I'll also post testimonials and what's going on. So as a course is happening, I will constantly be updating the wider audience. They're like, oh my god, these people just signed 5 clients within my course right now. They're smashing it, and it's been so much fun to do this. And then I'm adding people to the waitlist as people are like, oh well, it sounds so fun. I'm like, yeah, come over and join the waitlist for next time I launch this program, because it's closed right now. And that builds that excitement and that momentum up as you are before you launch something.
Yeah, I think I had that similar conversation with another, and then she said it makes sense. What works for her was mentioning her product actually without putting in a call to action, sometimes before she actually opened up cart or started selling it. So those people already heard about it, and they are suddenly surprised. Oh my God, she's selling something.
Yeah.
So before that, she only shared beautiful quotes and pictures and I don't know. So yeah. So that's really smart. Also like adding testimonials and stuff. So is it like a mixture of text and video and images, or?
Yeah, images, text, video, anything that you've got, and you can repurpose it. So I often ask my clients to create a video testimonial, and then I can repurpose that into a text or image-based, and then I can repurpose that into some long-form content where I post a different picture, maybe a picture of the client, maybe a picture of myself, maybe a picture of behind the scenes. Like, it can do so many different things, and using the same premise, using the same quote that that client has given me. I can screenshot things as well, and I think that's something that a lot of people don't use enough. When people comment on your lives or your masterclasses, and you can screenshot that, and you can block out the name and reshare that as well. I did that for a masterclass that I ran recently. I was like, this is all the amazing feedback that I had live on the masterclass. You have to go and check it out.
I think that works so well because it also feels really authentic. And it is, obviously it is. So, and you don't have to worry about getting approval and sign-offs because you're simply blacking out the name and picture of the person.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's so powerful because, like you say, it's authentic. And that's one of the things that I think that's why we have to create our marketing ourselves, is so that it becomes authentically you and people buy from people. So being able to be authentically yourself online is huge. And that doesn't come naturally for a lot of people, and it does take time and practice. It did for me. I was always, when I first started, I thought that people were going to buy from a certain type of person. I had to be that certain type of person.
Yeah, that's so common. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, we all have those fears that we are not good enough. We are not the expert yet. Why should anyone buy from me? Yeah, everybody, I think, has that.
Yeah, my big thing was a realization when I first started my business was I had a coach. And I remember listening to a podcast by Jenna Kutcher. And obviously, she's... but she's a million miles ahead of me, right? And I'm looking at her and I was going, I just started out. I just quit my job. I was full-time my business for the first time. And I'd listened to this podcast. And she said on this podcast that she had 1 year's full of emails that she had people go through when they signed up to email list. And I was like, well, that's it. I've got to have a year's worth of emails. So I started typing away. My coach was like, stop, maybe start with one. You don't need to have a full year's worth of email sequence set up just because Jenna Kutcher does. I was like, oh, okay. I think that was a big realization for me for starting where you are and looking for somebody who is maybe one or two steps ahead of you or five steps ahead of you rather than a million steps ahead of you and giving you ideas, especially on strategy and things like that, where you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to go and do all of this thing. And think, let's just start with step one first.
It's so easy to fall in that comparison trap. When you compare yourself to someone who's already like far ahead, you're not comparing yourself to where they were when they got started. So, which was probably very, very different. So I don't know. Did you do B School from Marie Forleo, for example? I did that a few years ago and it was such an inspiring program. I really loved it, but everything is so polished and beautiful. And she's there with her hair and makeup and perfect lighting. And you know, I've got a lot of value out of it, but at the same time, I know from a lot of people who were really like, oh my God, my stuff is never going to look like that. You know, it doesn't have to. That's like, you know, like what doesn't really come across, I think, in her program is that it doesn't, so that's not where you start. That's not how, where she started as well.
Yeah. I think the same thing happened with Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi's KBB course they launched recently. And you can tell the people that have gone through the program because when Dean Graziosi did it, he had a brick background and his lighting was amazing and it was beautiful. And now you can see so many of these people that have clearly gone through the KBB course and they've added the brick background to their videos. And I'm like, it looks pretty, but I know I've seen that before.
How do you add that? If you, do you like redecorate your house?
And yeah, they add the walls. And yeah, add the wallpaper and the decorations to make all of their little lighting studios perfect.
Yeah. You don't need that. A good light always helps, but find a corner where you have some natural lights to go on camera. For some people, I think it also works when you just go outside and just hold up your phone and start talking and walking. And then you have more, I don't know, more freedom, or it comes more natural. So whatever works for you, where you are natural and find it easy to get into the flow. I'm still struggling with videos. What actually helped me is, I mean, obviously practice. Everything gets easier with practice and coaching calls.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, so because there I didn't script anything, I just started talking and it was great and I loved the connection. And so I don't really do a lot of videos in my social media. So I do Instagram stories. I find that easy too. I can put on a filter. I'm not a big fan of filters, but I feel I'm at that age where they really help me to get on camera. So, you know, like, whatever works for you. And
I love video.
I can imagine you're great on video. So you look great on camera and you have that energy and that smile and
It took me a while though. I listened back recently to my first ever live video and I cringed. And I think what I did was somebody commented and said, you say a lot. So I turned it into a game with my audience. And I tell a lot of my clients to do this. If you are nervous or you are worried about how you sound or what's going on when you're live, turn it into something with your audience and have fun with it, because that is so much more authentic than worrying about it. So turn it into a game with your audience and make it into something fun. So if you're going live, you say, I apparently say a lot on my live videos, so I want to make sure that I am not. So comment every time I say and let's turn this into a fun game as well. And then go into whatever it was you're going live on. And then every time you say you'll pick yourself up on it because you're like, oh, somebody's going to comment. And it just made it more aware in my conscious mind about what I was saying and therefore took that away from what I was doing. And it made it so much more fun. And it also made it so much more authentic for my audience to listen to me being real and be like, okay, so I suck at this. So I'm going to try and get better and we're going to do it together.
I think it's smart. Yeah. And I think you mentioned that you looked at your old, like your first videos on Facebook. You can actually do that when you go to the page of someone else and go to their media tab and then look at videos, and then you can sort them and look at the old versions. And I think that's always eye-opening. Like if you go to Facebook pages from really successful entrepreneurs or yoga teachers and just check out how they started out. The same on YouTube. So
yes.
I think that's really, and of course, if you do it on your own page or YouTube channel, you should cringe, because otherwise it would mean that you wouldn't have evolved and got better.
Yes. There is so much cringeworthy content from when I first started out. And I think when I go back through, I'm like, oh, okay, I've grown so much. My branding has changed massively. I've changed massively. What I offer has changed massively. And you can see the evolution over my social media as everything has shifted. I started with a Fiverr logo when I first launched my business in 2016. And I just stuck everything together with super glue. I was like, okay, this will work for now. And it did work so well that I didn't change it until January 2020. Because it worked so well, I was like, it's fine. And then I got to the point where I was almost embarrassed of my branding. I'm saying, I don't want to send any more website because it's terrible. So now's the time to change it.
Yeah, but it's not like the most important thing when you're just getting started. I think it's really more important to focus on your content and on your products, that you sell something before.
Yes. Yeah. And that's something that I refer people to so often, because people tell me all the time, I say, oh, how are you doing for clients at the moment? And they're like, oh, I'm not getting clients at the moment, but I am on YouTube and Pinterest and I'm on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, and they list up all these things that they're doing. I'm like, okay, stop. Stop. Let's focus on getting your clients first and build out one platform and then go to the next and then go to the next. Because if you don't have clients, you have an expensive hobby.
That's smart. Yeah, that's so true as well. I have like people coming to me. So my goal for next year is to get 5,000 followers on Instagram. I think that's not a goal in itself.
Yeah.
How is that going to help your business? How is that going to help you grow if you don't have anything to sell? Or a strategy behind it, how you're going to convert those followers into your clients.
Yes. I actually had somebody come to me a while ago and she said something similar. I want to get this amount of followers and I'm building out a group and I'm doing this. And I'm like, oh, cool. That sounds great. What is it you're selling? And she was like, I don't have anything I'm selling. Why are you doing all of that then? Because you don't have a business. You're just building an audience for the sake of it.
Yeah.
If you're not selling anything and you don't know who that audience is that's going to buy it, then you're just building an audience for the sake of it. So go back to basics and find an offer that you want to sell to people and then build the audience around that.
Okay, so let's say we have an offer. Let's say we have a yoga teacher and she's selling retreats and yoga classes at the moment on Zoom probably, and maybe private classes as well. So she's busy. How much time should she spend on social media and what should she post?
So as much as she can be consistent. So I hate it when people say, oh, you have to be on like Facebook or Instagram 100 times. If you can't be consistent with that for the long term, then don't start it. So if you can be consistent 3 times a week forever, then start with that, because then your audience begins to trust you and build up that, oh, I know she's going to post because she posts every day on Monday at this time.
I think it also helps with the algorithm.
Yeah, and people become aware of that. And then if you go all out and you're like, yes, I'm going to start Instagram and I'm going to post 3 times a day and it's going to be epic. And then in 3 weeks, you get burnt out because you can't really do that and it's not sustainable. And then you drop off the face of the earth. Then your audience is going to be like, oh, I thought she was committed and going to do this. And now she's just disappeared. So if you can start where you feel that it will be consistent for you and then build on that. So if you find that 3 posts is easy for you, then add 4. And if you find 4 posts becomes easy, because as you start to repurpose content and start to reshare the same sort of content and build up that content database, then you can add 4 or 5 posts.
Do you repost things like when you post a blog post, for example? Do you post that again, like a week later? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Because people don't see things first time around. And there's an old marketing saying that says people need to see you 7 times, which I'm pretty sure is now at least doubled with the world that we live in, where everybody is so connected. So the more times they see something, whether they've seen it in a Facebook group or on Instagram or in your emails, then the more likely they are to read it eventually. And this was brought home to me on one of my posts I had shared in a couple of Facebook groups. And somebody commented on it eventually and was like, I've seen this in a lot of Facebook groups. And I was like, awesome, but this is the first time you've commented. So thank you so much for finally reading it, even though you've seen it several times.
It's true, yeah. You should and sometimes be afraid that we're like, annoying.
Because people see things, they don't necessarily take it in.
That's true. And when we are scared that or afraid that we are annoying people, we make it about us. Which is also,
yes.
Right? So, and it's not. It's the same when people send out an email, a newsletter or something, and they apologize that they haven't sent out a newsletter in the last month or something. And nobody cares. Nobody cares but you. Just stop apologizing. Just do your thing and share and promise yourself to be more consistent in the future.
Yes. And I did a masterclass on sales for my group program yesterday, actually. And one of the big things that I said was that you won't sell anything unless you're talking about what you sell.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
People so often like, nobody is buying anything. I'm like, when was the last time you actually posted about what you offer? Rather than posting all of the value and all the pretty pictures and everything else, when was the last time you posted, I have something to sell. Do you want to buy it? Yes. And people forget that.
Me too. I'm just distracted by all the puppy content I have to post.
Yeah, exactly. We get distracted by the whole world and we forget that we haven't posted a sales post in a month and wonder why we haven't got any sales.
Yeah, and of course you get less engagement from that, but that's fine. That's to be expected. I think you just have to live with that and not focus on that. I love that Instagram changed it, actually, that you don't see how many likes you got right away.
Yes. Yeah, that has been huge on Instagram. I found that Instagram for recently, Reels have been massive for reach on Instagram.
I'm not a fan of them.
If you have Reels in your location, they don't have them in Asia at the moment. But yeah, if you have Reels, the organic reach on those is going massively wild.
That's true, yeah. It's always something new. They're always pushing it. It was the same with Facebook Live when they got started with that. But then, of course, over time, you know, it's not the same anymore. So you always have to adapt.
Yes.
And the problem I have with Reels is that I see people like trying the same, you know, like all those marketing tips Reels. I'm like, what's this use of that? What are you teaching in like this 5 seconds? And then you're just like pointing here. And it's like, okay, that's not really enriching my life or helping me. When I look at my Instagram, I have Reels coming up like, okay, it's a lot of puppy content. And they are fun, of course, but you know, I don't really see. And also saw some yoga teachers making great Reels where they actually explain like a pose or something. So
yeah.
I think you really have to work on it to make it really make sense for what content you're sharing.
Yes, I've seen the way I've seen a lot of people do it is use Reels for the fun side of things and for creating that little bit of authenticity around you and you as an individual and the fun things that you do. And then having the gallery content to be real value style content and the Reels to be more fun and engaging and lighthearted style content. That then because you're sharing lighthearted and you're sharing content that is authentically you, then people will magically be attracted to you that way.
That's true. Yeah, that's smart. And I think it's also important that you say that you mix that content that you share. And I know that a lot of yoga teachers, they think, okay, I have to create videos, like yoga videos or something. But if that's the only thing you're sharing, you're missing out because first you don't give people the opportunity to get to know you and build like a connection, a deeper connection by sharing like behind the scenes or some fun stuff or what's going on in your life or also some more inspiring content, more insights about yoga or more some background besides simply doing like a yoga class. And also you don't give them a reason to buy something because they will be really happy with your free classes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you can make behind the scenes content so easily. Like one of the reels that I did a while ago was literally me dad dancing. It was terrible. I'm not a good dancer, right? But I had like almost 4,000 views on this reel. And I was literally me dancing and I laid over the top of it. This is my Friday afternoon happy dance because I've sold out my group program this week.
Yeah, but you love that, of course.
Yeah.
I have to look that up.
Yeah. I also have a reel of me dancing with my dog. You know, I'm a single 30-year-old woman. I taught my dog to dance with me.
Oh, so adorable. Yeah.
Like things like that where they're just authentically you and behind the scenes. Like it's a Friday afternoon and I don't want to work, but I want to create some content. I'm like, I'll just be silly on reels for a minute and post that. And it's that sort of stuff that people are like, oh wow, I connected with you because I saw that you were a real person. And that is so powerful. Like often, especially in the wellness industry, people think, oh, I have to have a very well polished picture and I have to share this amazing photography of me doing yoga and looking really pristine and perfect. But people want to know that it's really you and you're a real person and you're a human. And that they can connect with you on the other side of things that maybe you're not perfect at, because we're not perfect humans in every avenue of life. So doing things like that means they can get to know you as an individual. And that's when they're going to buy from you over the next yoga teacher that's offering a class.
And I think that's the opportunity that we have with social media. And I think it's smart to really manage your time on it and like see it as, you know, like, but you have to see it as a, you have to see yourself as a business and you have to see this as a marketing tool. And it's not there for fun. If you have a business, if you want to use it strategically, it's like a marketing tool. So you have to have a little bit of a plan, like Disha said, right? So you plan ahead, you create like a little content calendar, you collect all your content somewhere, and then you, how far in advance do you create your content?
So I have my content calendars. When I am preparing for a launch, I will store all that content in Airtable for that specific launch. So then when I launch it again, it's ready to go. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much have all of my content for next year all ready to go. Like
the main in between launches when you're not launching, because you know, like most of my listeners, yoga teachers are not launching.
Yeah. So in between anything that I'm not offering, then I will just have content going out sporadically throughout that time as well.
Okay.
I think everybody should have a base of content, and you can then push something specifically at one time, where because your audience will then won't get fatigued with a certain offer. So you can say, okay, I'm going to push my one-on-one classes this month of January specifically, and I'm only going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the benefits of that. I'm going to talk about all the amazing things that that is. And then next month, I'm going to chill on the one-on-one stuff, but I'm going to provide so much value that everybody loves me.
Do you use a tool for scheduling or?
So depending on the platform, on Facebook groups, I post specifically on use the Facebook scheduler within the group. If I'm using Instagram, I use Planoly.
Mm-hmm.
On the Facebook business page, I will use the Creator Studio, or I also use a software called Recurpost. So that allows me to schedule posts sort of every 6-8 weeks, whatever time frame I want. So that's perfect for blogs to make sure that you're still sending out those blogs on your Facebook page.
I used to use Smartaku, but I stopped doing it to see if I get more engagement if I post, but I don't. I don't really think it makes a difference. And yeah, and then I stopped reposting things, actually, which is probably not a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's good to have some sort of base content, especially on your business page, where a lot of people now aren't seeing anyway, unless they're searching for you specifically.
Yes.
So it's good to have updated content on there, or content that's going out regularly. But I don't focus on my Facebook business page because it's not something that I'm driving people to consistently, unless I was going to run ads, which I'm not running at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. So I only use it actually when I'm launching. And yeah, so I post like my blog posts, my podcast episodes, but it doesn't get a lot of reach. I'm not really focusing on that.
Yeah. So there's a statistic that says that on average, a Facebook business page will only reach 4% of the people that follow or like the page.
Mm.
They're just so annoying because that a couple of years ago, that's what Facebook were pushing people to do, to have a business page.
I know.
And now organically it's crashed. So Facebook groups is where it's at now to get that more organic reach and connect with people. But again, then you have to think about your personal profile and what that looks like as an individual as well. Because if you were engaging in groups, whether you have your own or you're using other people's groups, then people are going to be nosy and look at your personal profile. That's just the nature of the world that we live in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true too. So you should I think your personal profile picture and your cover picture should be aligned with what you do in your business.
Yes. Yeah. And then it's up to you whether you take that next step and friend request people or not on your personal profile. But as long as on your personal profile, people can find out what you do with just looking. So I have it in my bio so that people can see instantly, oh, okay, Disha's social media and business coach. I can find her in her Facebook group. So I'll go over and connect to her on Facebook group there.
Okay. Yeah. And I think what also is important then, if you, when you really get ahead with all that planning and content creation, that then you can use social media for what it's all about and bring the social back in and really use it to build a connection with your followers and send DMs and try to get to know more about your students and clients as well.
Yes.
Only, you know, like what a lot of us do is that we focus on our peers on social media. So you follow a lot of other yoga teachers or wellness entrepreneurs, and that doesn't really make sense. So it's really, remember, it's about building a connection with your students and your potential clients and customers, and have a look at their profiles. What are they interested in? What questions do they have? And really work on your relationship with them.
Yes. And I think that is so powerful. I get asked a lot about friend requests and who I accept. And do I accept everybody? And I always say, I don't accept everybody because I don't need to be friends with other business coaches. I want to be friends with people that are my ideal clients.
Yeah, that's so true. Yes, definitely.
So I am fussy when I look at friend requests and think, either do I want to work with you, as in, do I want you as my coach, or do I want to connect with you on a level where we can collaborate, or are you my ideal client? And if you don't fit into those, or I haven't met you in real person, in real life, of course, then if you don't fit into any of those, I'm probably not going to accept your friend request.
Yes. Yeah, that's smart. So what has been your biggest learning about social media in the last year, in this year?
That people, especially at the moment, are really craving connection. Mm. And being authentically you and just having conversations with people that don't necessarily have to be sales-based conversations. Obviously, we're all here to make money and to grow a business. And that's what you're doing on social media. But just being an authentic person and checking in with people has been absolutely amazing. So if I know that, for example, one of my ideal clients is moving house in a couple of months, I will make a note in my calendar to check in and just see how the house move went. They are not, they haven't bought for me. They don't know what I'm about yet. I just know that I want to work with them at some point. So I'm just being a human and be like, how was your house move? Did everything go okay? Are you okay? And I think being that person is so much more powerful than being the person that just drops into people's DMs and when you want to sell something.
Yes. Yeah. I hate that. You know, like you follow something, they immediately send you like a sales DM. It's like, what do you think you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is so horrible because you don't know that that person is your ideal client yet. You haven't had a conversation with them. You haven't got to know them, and they might not be interested in what it is that you're selling, like their model of the world. They might not perceive that to be what they need.
Yeah. But I think a connection is really, really, it's a powerful tool.
Yeah.
And so that's beautiful that you brought it up. So just to keep it real, because, you know, you seem so knowledgeable. can you share like a mistake that you made on social media with us? Like what went wrong?
Oh, yeah. What went wrong on social media? So many things. So I started a group when I first started my business in 2016. In 2017, I think I launched the group. And it was for, the title of the group was Wellness Entrepreneurs. And it was aimed at helping wellness entrepreneurs get more visible, which in the sounds of things sounds great. But at the time I'd advertised it in a group and I ended up getting a lot of people join very, very quickly that weren't engaged or my target audience. And then it just went stale. So like, I had about 700 people in the group and nobody was engaging. And it was because I had posted it in this group that was very spammy and a whole bunch of people had joined but not done anything. And therefore, they weren't seeing any of my content or actually engaging in anything I was doing. So I closed down the group and launched a new group. I was like, I'm just going to can that one. And if you want to join me in a new group, you can. And if you don't, that's fine. I think about 500 of those people weren't active at all on Facebook anymore. They were just like spam bots.
That's crazy. Yeah. I actually have one story there to share as well. On my first Facebook page, it was for a yoga retreat directory, and I did Facebook ads to promote the page, you know, back then, 2013 or something, when we still did that. And I didn't set a location restriction, so it was like worldwide, and somehow Facebook decided that that ad worked best in Egypt. So I get, I think, like 5,000 people or something from Egypt joining that Facebook page, and like, why are they interested in yoga retreat?
Oh no.
That was so weird. And then nobody was really engaging at all. So it was really, really weird. It was a super successful page. I had like 13,000 people or something on there very quickly, but yes, not a lot of engagement.
So. Yeah. So I just closed that group down. I tried to reinvigorate it a few times. And in the end, April this year, I was like, okay, I give up. I'm just going to bin that group and start a new one.
Yeah, but that's great. So you just moved on. So you analyzed it and you realized that, yeah, I mean, it's also not helping your algorithm. It's probably, no matter how great the content is that you put out there, when nobody is engaging, it's like Facebook is going to show it to less and less people. So to make that decision to really, okay, I'm going to have to start fresh, it's pretty brave.
Yeah, and the new group is now larger, more engaged in the last 8 months that it's been running than the last group that I had been running for 2 years was.
That's great. So that's been a success story. Amazing.
Yeah.
So, so I think you shared really some great advice. So I love that. Where can people go to learn more about you? That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, they can come over to my Facebook group. It's called Get Visible. You can either search on Facebook or you can go to bit.ly/organicandvisible and come over and check us out. I've got a masterclass in there at the moment where you can check out how to plan 2021 strategically for all of your marketing needs throughout the year. And then you can check out some lives. There's some good live content in the units as well for challenges on getting your personal profile set up correctly. So when we talked about going into groups, you can go through some content in there as well around getting your profile set up as well.
Great. And I'll add the link to the show notes. And also like to your profile and page and website so people can check you out and learn more about it.
Yes, thank you very much. There is a freebie on my website about 11 steps to growing your Facebook group. So if you do have a Facebook group, then you can go to the website and check that out as well. Ooh. And download that. And get stuck in with growing your own Facebook group.
That's great. So that's probably another episode we have to do. I don't think I've talked about Facebook groups yet.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, I'm more than happy to come back.
Thank you so much, Disha. It was really, really nice to have you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Blissful Biz podcast. If you like the show, please leave a review on iTunes. This would mean the world to me. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to never miss a new episode. To learn more about how to work with me one-on-one, my courses and membership, or to get instant access to freebies, workshops, and more, go to susannereiker.com right now. Thanks for tuning in and see you next time.